When we've been to talk about the Lotus Sutra, has been requested to talk about the Lotus Sutra, so that's one good reason. The other good reason is this year I want to be giving Bodhisattva vows to people, and you need to learn about what Bodhisattvas do. Bodhisattvas are the wisdom beings that pledge to work with others. Yeah, there we go. So many people hear about Bodhisattvas, because we use that term quite a bit to describe people doing maybe selfless acts or praise someone by saying they're Bodhisattva. And Bodhisattvas are doing selfless acts, but they're selfless acts based upon a wisdom mind. The Lotus Sutra is popular with all the Mahayana schools, which include like China and Tibet and Mongolia, Korea and Japan. It's become most popular or strongest in China and Japan. And I could go into a scholarly explanation why. But one major reason, I believe, is that the Lotus Sutra, which I'm going to suggest people find a copy on their own, is the Lotus Sutra tells stories. So unlike the Heart Sutra that we just read out, which is very philosophical, it doesn't have that story in it, right? The story is the Buddha wasn't talking, and then Avalokiteshvara was talking to Shariputra and kind of correcting Shariputra a little bit. That's the story, right? But in the Lotus Sutra, each chapter has a story to it. So it is philosophical and meditational, but it's teaching through narrative, through story. People primarily learn Dharma through stories, because it's through stories that we model ourselves. It's through stories that we remember what's going on. We don't remember things just through technique or just through memorization. So when people just do meditation and technique, it doesn't have enough traction to it. And, you know, like, here's the meditation sheet. That's not enough, usually. There has to be a story and a mythology about it, a story and a whole worldview around it. So this is what the Lotus Sutra also offers. I ask people that know me to read the Buddha's biography. One of the more accessible ones is Old Path, White Clouds, Thich Nhat Hanh's. Because that's a story about the Buddha, skillfully done and told through, not anonymously, but told through like a you know, an ox herder boy, right? He's kind of reminiscing about the Buddha. So likewise, the Lotus Sutra is a series of stories. Once we understand the story, then we can place ourselves within the story, and our meditation, particularly Bodhisattva practice, has the right context and the right view. So the techniques and the rituals we do here are all a part of a bigger story. And that story I like to call the WE story, W-E, the big story. And we all have our own personal story. I was born here, this is my problem, this is my family, this is work, this is my body. The Lotus Sutra is very skillful at weaving together that personal and interpersonal world. And that's what we have to learn. They have to, yes, we have to learn in Tantra, because Tantra means to weave things together. So the interpersonal world and the transpersonal world and the personal world all work together. And the Lotus Sutra, by telling a story, it can show how that can happen. There's no objective map of how we connect all of the different realities together. People like to have the map, and occasionally I'll talk about maps, like the five paths and the 10 bodhisattva grounds and the 10 paramitas, right? There's lists, you know. but it's not the story. It's not what inspires us. What inspires us is the story, the movie. Since I usually get up around 3 or 3:30, I didn't last through the whole Academy Awards last night. So, I'm really sorry I missed the mess up, you know, where like La La Land was first announced as, you know, no, that's wrong. Because that for me is the real story, see. It's a scripted story, so they'd like it to go, but then there's the unscripted story of what actually happened. So the scripted story is generally our personal story, the way we want our life to go. And then that spontaneous story is the we story, right? The we story is something we all share. I don't know, who was watching Academy Awards? Am I the only shallow person here? Okay, thank you. Oh, okay. So, the personal story is the one that we have to make happen, and we see it all scripted out. But the lead story is the one that we all share because it wasn't scripted ahead of time. Interesting. So that's another important piece of the Lotus Sutra, is there are surprises in the Lotus Sutra. To be a bodhisattva means you're going to be surprised how things turn out. You're going to see things in a new light. Somewhat the Lotus against monastic Buddhism scripted, or you just wanted to, you know, just give me the roadmap and I'll just, it's pointing out that the actual transcendent functions of the Buddha, they're surprises. And in fact, for bodhisattva, they have to sometimes tell stories that aren't literally true. One of the very famous accounts, Buddha likens samsara, the world of pain and health, in which there are wonderful toys and kids are playing. The house is ready to class on them. And initially, or the monster, maybe even Buddha say, hey, the house is burning, so, but they don't come out. So the lectures, but eventually the Buddha says, okay, well, if you come out, wonderful cards. So if you come out of the burning house, and there are various toys you'll get, maybe you get, I would think cars, I don't know why. So some people will get of a Volkswagen Bug and a Corvette, and other people will get, like that, or maybe if you're in luxury, like Rolls Royce or something. So he says to the kid, okay, comes out. That the kids come out. A second kind of story where instead of giving Volkswagen to somebody, a person in Ferrari to the other one, everybody gets the Ferrari. So everyone gets what's called the Echion, the one vehicle. Everyone gets the complete truth, second. So even though you have to entice them out of the house by their individual interests and nature, people, the kids that got out all got. So two skillful means or pious or different practices, meeting people where they are and teaching them to connect, but totally giving them still, so being non-discriminatory as far as the truth goes, ultimately, but being good people to start practicing. Everybody, you're going to get the best because what we think is the best may not be what they think is the best. So, maybe you like a really good hamburger, but your cats like tuna fish, So every being has a little different thing. Tibetans like this kind of food, and generally Tibetans don't like sushi, but it's like, so you've got to do skillful ways. So the objection in that chapter is, well, for this is, are we lying? And the answer from the other bodhisattvas is no, because why? Because it's done with the right motivation. people kind of, hard-boiled realist Buddhists. Right. I call them fundamentalist Buddhists, It's when we're trying to help someone, but we're not meeting them with. It's akin to saying if someone has gone through a big change, maybe their child died, and we just say, well, everything's impermanent in the moment, would it? Like, get over it, it's impermanent, So we have to think it's going to be the most supportive for that person to, grieve and be released from their suffering. Go the other direction and say, everything's going to be great, don't worry. Be true either. So we have to let them, have them hear a story in their story. And when I say story, I don't mean untruth, but a story that I'm allowed to. I know, this makes sense, yeah. Well, like with little children are inevitably, I don't know any kids that don't have nightmares, I have nightmares. So one old hard-boiled Buddhism would be no demons, shut up. Or the no demons, it's all in your mind. You got to go to school tomorrow. But in Mahayana, a great vehicle for this one, bodhisattvas, either like camp counselors, which I've been a camp counselor, 7 and 8 year old boys.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I got some good stories there later. So, but a counselor might say, okay, I'm going to deal. So it might be looking under the bed or looking, saying you've gotten the demons, you've taken it out into the forest so that it's not in the cabin anymore, is that lying, to work with their nightmares? So from the Lotus point of view, we can teach them, nightmares are coming from the nature of mind, but at first it doesn't help. So from Lotus point themselves out to find the right way to help others. When I've worked at inpatient psych hospitals, it doesn't help to tell that they're crazy. It doesn't work. So you want to help someone, so, you know, if they're feeling pursued or persecuted, you want to emphasize that demons are not allowing, you know, who's ever coming after them to come to the hospital to deal with it. We're not just saying, you know, at least I don't say, right? That's not helpful. If someone has a delusion, and they, that's difficult, right? So I trained with the Zen master for several years, Sun Sun, and put together talks into a book called Dropping Ashes on the Buddha. Stephen Mitchell in translation, but through him, Sun Sun's teachings became wide known, and the Ashes on the Buddha too. And he paints a scenario if someone came in a little bit late, maybe he's been here before or something, but maybe not, smoking a cigarette, and then walks, just marches up and around the altar, and then drops his ashes on the Buddha, or what would you do? Sun Sun would always emphasize, this guy's really big. So, that's a good calling, right? You know, what you could do, and their actions are so direct. How do we? It's interesting, you know, just kind of a hint that on discussions, I mean, the number of people said they would just tackle a person to do that. I'll just tell you, that's not the answer. I don't have to do that here. So I don't want any answers. That's all Lotus Sutra kinds of things, you know? So that are not acting like good kings. Okay? People on it. Also, a major chapter, just giving an overview, Lotus Sutras. This is a chapter that's very much like the prodigal son from the Gospels. There's a prince that the, you know, palace, and goes to work, ends up being a street sweeper, I think. They actually still have those in India, like our kind of brooms. They look like sticks put together, and you have to kind of do it sideways. They make about, you know, maybe 60 rupees a day, dollar. So the king once was, of course, looking for a son, and eventually found a son, and, you know, of course, we found you, it's great, you're Prince so-and-so, and, you know, get in the carriage, he didn't get in. Eventually, somehow, the king did, that was wrong, and when he went out, I'll make it short, he said, well, I'll give you a job. The son couldn't believe he was the prince. So gradually, you know, working up like that until eventually his son remembered. And so, I'm the Lotus Sutra, because I haven't read it in the original Sanskrit or the original Sino-Japanese. Maybe we can do a little research, or maybe someone can say, oh, this is the best, and then, you know, text me or give me an idea like that. Because probably, there's probably five or six translations in English, actually. So the one I kind of grew up with is called Threefold Lotus Sutra, because they're young with it. But I don't know if this book is in print anymore, you know. And maybe, you know how you fall in love with the old translations? Or maybe it's not totally accurate, but you love it. Idea like, oh, this is my favorite Lotus Sutra translation. please send it to me. Do you have a favorite?
I have a question.
I guess the question.
I think I donated that book to the library, or one of the books to the library. I didn't have the easiest time reading it. Is there a...
The way to read any scripture is after its commentary. Yeah. That's the way to read it. Well, I'm suggesting that some people may ash up the chapter, then that would illuminate it. It's like the Reader's Digest version.
I think I have a version of it that I don't know, maybe there's a favorite in addition to that one I already explained.
There might be, and I'm open to that, So literature, this thing, a narrative can verse. But I'm happy to look at that, it's one of the sutras, along with Prajnaparamita sutras, that Sanskritra has in it, as do other Mahayana sutras, but especially in Lotus Sutra, like, copy it, your merit is more incredible than the sand in the Ganga. I'm a Japanese here. This would be Chinese. By the way, until recently, really just the last 50 years, they had to learn how to read Chinese. And they'd read it with kind of little cheat sheets on the side. It hasn't been until, 50 years translated into actually modern Japanese. Amazing. And so, privilege of meeting some of the Japanese scholars who did the translation into modern Japanese. The reason I said that is because it's seen as in gold. If you wanted to, that would be good. But even that a shortened form is a way to understand and is acceptable too. I know. Or you can just come to the lecture. Hopefully. Personal transmission and a sense of what's leading to our current situation, like that. So tradition, let alone a tantra, you wouldn't just read an important here a master's commentary, like that, because it's an oral lineage. It's once upon a time and then life. So it's not getting the idea of getting the spirit of the text. Briefly, just mention the very important chapter about the eternal Buddha. So in Hinayana practice, particularly in America, it's very popular to think, the Buddha impermanence is, we just accept that, and the Buddha died like every other human being. And now the Buddha's gone. Kind of makes sense. Buddha's human being is gone. Particularly our school, impermanence is not an ultimate truth. Like that, we could raise our hand. And in our school, it's not the ultimate truth, impermanence. It's a truth taught to beings that are stuck on a fixed idea of we're going to give you the Ferrari. It's not the ultimate truth. The Buddha taught impermanence. Those who were stuck on the wrong view of permanence. So was that a lie or not? Help? Yes. So the Lotus Sutra talks about that permanent and unchanging nature. That's important, right? I think gain realizations now, if we make a big effort now, two things won't happen. You won't waste any of the practice, and the realizations, the real realizations you gain will be. Because many people doubt, like, well, maybe I'll do a little bit and then I'll backslide, and that's it, right? So all the good we've done has been ruined by the, or all the good we've done will go away when we die. The Parinirvana Sutra, Lotus Sutra, and the Tantras are actually changing. Buddha said, no, everything's impermanent. But actually, the nature of mind, the actual mana, does not change. So realizations here, although you've gained some realization already, you know, about your life, that's not going to fade. You can't destroy it. So once you do some more silly things, but you can't destroy it. That's good news. There's no way you can look over somewhere else, but it won't go away, and you can't kill it. Four ideas about Tathagata Garbha, which is are embedded in the Lotus Sutra. So that's why, you know, various teachers over the time have got this in certain tantras, because it speaks to them. I'll stop here. And we'll do some meditation, or should we take a stretch for 5 minutes? Okay. Okay, we'll take a few minutes.